and welcome to Tech Actually, episode 98 for the 28th of August, 2010. And I got all the dates and times right for once. Good. I'm David McVeigh, and we've already kind of had this little pre-natter going on with our chat room, so I'm a little bit hyped up at the moment. But I am joined in studio by Josh Philpott. How are you?
I am super fantastic.
Super fantastic.
No, I'm great, man. Got up really early this morning, so my brain's had a few hours to turn on, unlike your normal, where I stumble up the hill at like 10:50.
Yeah, well, I have to say, we start here at 12, or we try and start as close to 12 as possible. That light is right in front of my clock now, so I have to have these. But anyway, we start as close as we can to 12, and normally Josh is here anytime between 11:30. And I went up to get an early coffee, come up because I usually have a little half hour before the studio, you know, just to tidy things up and everything. And I get in here and Josh is already on my couch at 10:30. It's like,
you're really early, dude. I was really worried because I've never seen your family that early in the morning.
We're not an attractive lot.
No. It had nothing to do with the level of attractiveness. It's just when I got there, I had this feeling for the first like 10 minutes that I was really unwelcome. And they didn't mean it. It's just I've never seen them in morning mode. They're already bubbly by the time I get there. So it's like everybody's kind of wandering around looking at me like,
you're actually lucky that Katie was out of bed. When I went to go get coffee, she was still in bed. So anyway, Shane Gregory, welcome back.
Yay.
Hey, it's been several weeks since you've had Shane.
I know. All I can say is I've been very busy. Work has been working me to the bone.
And you missed the great Grace science experiment from last week. I was really hoping you'd be here for that one as well, because that was a lot of fun. But Grace is still alive, by the way, everybody. We are still feeding video from Grace, so Grace has survived. And if you listened to last week's show, and we did talk about the photos that we showed, they are all online at geekactually.com now, so you can have a look at them. So what have you been up to other than work? Anything?
Gaming. Besides being on, besides being the tech guy for Raw DLC,
Shane is a certified tech guy now. I've decided it because he's worked more than five full shows as a camera handler and audio build worker.
Can I just say, Shane, though, that one word of advice is if you move that picture up about 3 centimeters, you'll just cover Josh's face completely.
Yeah. Right?
not dignifying that with an answer. Let's move on.
All right, let's move on. What is this show? This is the official tech podcast of geekactually.com. For those who may not have listened for a long time, we'll just do this very quickly because we have a slow news day anyway, which is, of course, that if you are normally a listener to Geek Actually and you're wondering what's happened because you haven't been here in a few weeks, we did break the shows up. The tech component became Tech Actually, the film component became Film Actually, and of course we still have the after show which goes out. They all have their own feeds. You can find them on iTunes as Tech Actually, Film Actually, and Geek Actually After Show. We're actually changing the release schedule, just to let everybody know. If you're listening to this, obviously you already know, but we'll put this up in writing as well. We're going to start releasing Tech Actually and Film Actually on the same day. So because they're on two separate feeds, we can kind of get away with that. So every Sunday morning will be both Tech and Film Actually simultaneously. Why, you may ask, am I doing this? Because two thoughts occurred to me, and I was just telling Josh about this on the way to get coffee this morning. One was I felt like we were punishing somebody. Because it was a stupid thing to think about. But I felt like we were punishing. I felt like we were recording both shows simultaneously. It used to be one show. And then suddenly we're just metering it out. And I thought, boy, if you came on to just listen to the tech component of Geek Actually, you had to end up waiting an extra day. Mm. And it just didn't feel very fair. So we're going to put out both shows simultaneously. We're also moving the after show up by one day. So instead of coming out Wednesday, it's going to come out Tuesday. So because of there not being such a spread that way. And the other reason why I thought we'd release them on the same day was there was a good reason, and now it's gone out of my head. Why? There was another good reason. What was the other good reason? Because they were it occurred to me that we record Tech Actually, Film Actually, After Show, but we were releasing Film Actually, Tech Actually, After Show. It made no sense to me why we were suddenly reversing this. So anyway, to make it easy, we're just going to put both shows out same day, simultaneously. Boom.
Brutal.
Done. Okay. Excuse me. I'm still recovering from this virus that my son has had and has been home from school 3 days this week, so it's been a bit of a nasty virus, but we'll get through it. Now, just to start us off for the day. First of all, we had an email from our good friend Geek Betty. Now, the contents of the email was just, you know, have you seen this article? So we won't read the whole email, but thank you very much for sending this. I had actually seen this article and I kind of glanced over it because I went, oh, it probably isn't that important. But then when I actually read it, because she sent it through this morning, I thought, well, somebody sent it to me, so that's a reason to have a listen, have a read of it. Apparently, you can get free calls to the United States from Australian Google at this point in time.
I remember this.
Yeah, it's apparently it's a bit of a bug, actually, and it may not last forever. So I would actually suggest everybody, if you have people in the States you want to call, this is your opportunity. Google Gmail free phone call service, as long as your language is set for English US. Now, a lot of Australians go, oh, I don't want that US English. I want that international English or English English because of the U's in words and all this stuff. Get over your pride for a minute and reset the reset the language to English US. By changing it to English US, Google thinks you're in America and lets you use the Google phone service.
Nice.
And if you use the Google phone service, you can make free phone calls. Or it says Australians have been able to make cheap phone calls to landlines and mobiles using the new Google Gmail and free calls to the United States. So by all means, if you are a Google Gmail user, go have a look at this because you might actually be able to save a few bucks on making some calls. And those who are using Skype already are going, what's the big deal? True. But this is actually free rather than even the cheap rates of Skype. So, all right, now that that's off, thank you very much, for Geek Betty. Well, let's get on to some real news. And I guess the first thing we need to do is a couple of follow-ups. Last week, we talked about the Australian federal election. This week, we're going to report the results. We don't have a government. Yay! Score! All right, this was the... isn't it free only for the first year, says Calisynth. Could be. I haven't looked into it in great detail. We literally got this half an hour before the show. So if you know more details, please send them through. I do know that it says... It does say in the article that there are charges to some phones. So like if you call Australian landlines, you actually start with a 10-cent credit, it says, and the minimum rate is 2 cents a minute or something like that, and then it's 14 cents for mobile calls, and it goes on. There's a whole bunch of different rates. So have a look at it. The article is actually on the Sydney Morning Herald. So if you go to smh.com.au, have a look for this article. The article is titled, Aussies Make Cheap Phone Calls Through Google. Okay, and... We will have that in the show notes as well, of course. So what happened with the election, Josh? Did you guys follow it at all?
No. As I said last week on the show, and you kind of caught me off guard when we were actually talking about it at the start of the show, because I know very little about politics at all, like at all.
Well, it's also you don't vote here, do you?
No.
No, because you're a New Zealander. So
I don't know much about the situation, but I've always had the same way of dealing with elections, which is that...
Bury your head in the sand and wait to see what happens.
Well, no, I'll pop my head out at the end, and basically the first person I run into, I'll just push them and go, what happened last night? And they'll be like, this person. I'll be like, right, that's who's governing. All right, sweet, got it. And that's all I need to know. As long as I know who's in power, I can, know who to yell at when I stub my toe.
Fair enough.
That's basically my way of dealing with politics. Now, this time was really interesting because I get to work and I'm like, all right, so who won? And they're like, oh, no one. And I'm like, come again?
For the American listeners out there, we use what's called the Westminster system of government, which means we don't actually elect a person. So there's no president in the running. We elect a parliament and we elect a party. And then the party selects who's leading the party. So in this case, Tony Abbott and Julia Gillard. When our electorate votes, we don't vote for Julia Gillard or Tony Abbott. We're voting for Peter Garrett, who is the local member for this area and so forth. It's a little bit more complicated, but there's been a swing against the Australian federal government, Julia Gillard's government. There was a swing against them. Now, depending on how you look at it, the coalition is taking it, saying, well, there's been a huge swing back to us. But actually, that's not what happened. What happened was there was a huge swing towards the Greens. The Greens actually had the biggest swing of any party. But, of course, because they're so small, they managed to get one. And it's a momentous thing. They managed to get one person into the House of Reps. That they've never had one in the House of Reps before. So that's a step in one direction. Now, what's happened, though, is that we now have what's called a hung parliament. A hung parliament means they both won pretty much the same number of seats. It's like 72 to 73 seats. You can only get a clear government if you have 76 seats in parliament. So they're now reliant on three or four independents. And these three or four independents are sitting there laughing their asses off because suddenly they have all the power. Yeah. And who they choose to allow to be a minority government is going to be whose government. And so, of course, both parties are wooing them and dining them and whining them and basically saying anything, what do you want? Mm-hmm. And to their credit, the independents have been incredibly sane, have been incredibly smart, and they're taking their time. And so a week out of the election, we still don't have a government. What we have at the moment is what's called a caretaker government. The current government that was in already is still in charge, but they're not allowed to make any rash decisions. Which brings us to our first story, which is that the National Broadband Network is frozen because they're not allowed to sign anything. They're not allowed to make contracts. They're not allowed to do anything because they're a caretaker government. And so the entire NBN project has just stopped. Mm-hmm. It's frozen in its tracks while we wait to find out what's going to happen. Now, if the Labour Party manages to win minority government, contracts will be signed, National Broadband Network will continue to roll out. If, however, the coalition government gets in, that's a whole different issue. Because the coalition leading up to the election kept saying that the first thing they were going to do was dismantle the National Broadband Network, and that wasn't the plan that they were going to go with. However, all three regional independents who have come into power have all put as number one on their list of seven demands that one of their high priorities is national broadband.
And getting and denying the filter.
Oh, well, the filter's off the table anyway. There's no way.
No, but even though it is, that is actually something apparent.
Well, that's true. Now, you actually had a little interesting tidbit about this filter. Somebody, what was it?
Oh, No. I was reading through the story, and it's actually from a while ago. It's just interesting that I finally managed to get some information.
But that's how things work in this country.
Absolutely. The article itself was basically just saying that someone managed to hack the ACMI blacklist, and that they actually had a list of the listings that were on that site. The list has been pulled down, so the article was not as exciting as we had hoped for at the start. But it sounds like he got 1,600 out of 2,400. So I would love to get a
look at
that.
Gotta love hackers. I gotta love hackers. Now we've got
but the interesting thing about it was how he went about it, because what he did was reverse engineer it. So basically, he went to find the sites that it would block by firing at the blocked sites and seeing if they were blocked. So I give the man credit. That's a very smart way of doing it.
Now, I just want to point out something in our chat room here. Northy, welcome to the chat room, Northy. Northy has said, both sides are terrible and the independents are gun-tooting hillbillies. I like our future.
I think Australia needs a couple of gun-tooting hillbillies.
Damn straight. Now, Callison says, Abbott gave the costings, I think, yesterday. Finally. Okay, this has been one of the big things about this election was the fact that Abbott refused to give the costings for the Liberal Party promises to Treasury because there was apparently a leak, and he basically said that he doesn't trust Treasury, and so he got an independent financing firm to do all of his costings before the election. Now, that's all fine prior to an election, okay? Yeah. And it's still not the way you should do it, but it is fine that that's how he's gone about it. Now, what's happened is that the independents who believe in the public service, funnily enough, wow, somebody actually believes in the public service, but they believe in the public service, and they've actually said they want both parties to submit all of their costings through Treasury so that they can actually look over all the costings, and the Liberal Party had declined. They had said they don't trust Treasury and they're not putting their stuff through Treasury, and they will give them the independent figures if they want to, but they're not going to go through Treasury, and the independents are basically saying, bad move.
Yeah.
You know, they want it through Treasury. If you're not going to put it through Treasury, we don't trust you. What are you hiding?
Yeah.
Right? So now Callison says they're checking at the moment, but they think that the costings were finally submitted. Because, of course, the Labour Party just turned around and went, here they are. You know? It's like, whatever you want. And that's the thing. These three independents have the balls of the politicians in their hands right now, including Julia Gillard, because I'm sure she has balls. But anyway, so as far as the broadband is concerned, because this isn't This Week in Politics, this is a tech show, where this stands at the moment is that now the coalition is now reassessing the broadband network. Now, what is interesting about this is they had said that they were going to cobble together this broadband plan, basically, out of the existing infrastructure, and it was going to be a top out of 12 megabits, and this was going to be fine for everybody. Now that this has all happened and the independents are talking about broadband, they're now actually, the opposition leader, Tony Abbott, says here in this article from Sydney Morning Herald, is now saying that they're rethinking, they're mulling over the broadband issue. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see where this goes. You know, the coalition would be insane not to continue the national broadband network because it's been costed, it's been laid out, it's been planned. Why not just pick it up? And when it's a huge success, they can take credit for it, which is how these political parties work. Callison says the Abbott costing story is on the Australian news site front page. Okay, well, I don't have a thing, but they have submitted. Is that what you're saying? So, okay, so I'll have a look at that later on. I think this is going to be a very, 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 very interesting outcome. We're not going to know for another week, at least, what's happening. So we will wait, and we will bide our time, and we will see. And you know what? I don't think Australia really is any like rush need to rush this decision along. We can take our time on it. It's not like we're like in the middle of a war. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, we are. It's not like we have two wars. Oh, yeah, we do actually, don't we? It's not like we have, you know, unemployment. Oh, yeah, we do have that too.
We do.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe we do actually need a government at some point. You know? It's like, anyway. All right. Let's move away from politics. Let's talk about this new patent from Apple. Now, I do want to apologize up front that we actually have 5 kind of Apple stories this week. Unfortunately, they're the only ones who have got any news. So I can't, you know, we can only go with what we've got.
It's a lot of exciting tech, though.
It is a lot of exciting tech. A lot of it is like vaporware as well, I'm sure, which is including this little piece that we're going to talk about right here. Apple has applied for, in fact, 2 patents we're going to talk about today. But this is the first one. This is the one that I was most excited about. Now, let's be very clear about one thing. I'm sorry, I just caught the chat room. It says, apparently, Abbott will release its costings to the independents, but on the condition that they're not to be given to Gillett or Wayne Swan. It's like they're the children in a playground. It's like, the election's over, guys. You can let your costings out now.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what this is on screen that you're looking at for our audio listeners, and of course, the link is in our show notes, so you can have a look at these pictures if you are an audio listener, is a patent request. This is for a new iMac. Now, what makes this new iMac more interesting than the normal iMac is the base. Mm. The little stand that it stands on actually has a little articulated arm in it, which also has circuitry involved in it. And what this iMac will have is both Mac OS X and iOS 4. And the idea is that in its upright position, it slides up and locks into that upright position. The arm that holds it sends the instructions to start OS X and use a keyboard and a mouse like normal. When you actually grab it, there's actually grab points on the actual screen. There's a million pictures on the patent application. You pull it down, the arm bends down with it, which sends a signal to the computer, which then says, we are now in flat mode. It puts OS X, I guess, to sleep. Doesn't quite explain how it does the switch. Activates iOS 4, and down in its now flat position, which looks like this, it's now touch sensitive, and it becomes a great big 27-inch iPhone, basically.
Oh, God.
Now, there's been speculation on this, how good this would be. One of the things was, there was a render I saw online, I don't have the picture here, which was like a video editing solution. And because it was this huge 27-inch screen, it was all touch interface and looked like an old-fashioned video editor. So it actually had scrubbing dials and stuff like that, which you put your hand on and use physically. It was like you were turning a dial.
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting idea. And they were saying for DJs, lay it down, you could actually have virtual decks and stuff like that to do all your scrubbing, what have you. So it's a really interesting idea, but don't get your hopes up.
Why?
It probably never happened. All right? This is the thing about
I disagree.
No, but this is the thing about patents. Apple drops patents constantly. Okay, Josh, go for it.
There is already a company out there, dude, that actually installs touch screens into 17 and 15-inch MacBooks, right? And Apple have been looking very closely at what they're doing. So I already know for a fact that it is completely on their cards to make a touch solution for this.
Well, I don't doubt that there'll be a touch solution for the iMac. I've said that since the new iMacs came out and they had a big glass screen. I said, why isn't there touch on this? But the idea of this switchable system, I don't know about that.
Because I was thinking about it before, man, and I have actually seen solutions where you can have quite heavy screens that you can actually pull and push, and it's on like...
pivot.
Exactly, and the weight itself will all be contained in that bit at the back, which I imagine is going to be a bit bigger than the one that we saw on the screen, right? But these things, though they are heavy, it is possible to create something, even if it's just a clip sensor where you actually have to push.
Well, if you have an articulated arm, the thing would move really smoothly. There's no problem.
And I've been thinking about the software solution. And look, even though it's 500-600 megs, man, that's less than a program nowadays, dude. You could literally have it just so that it's just launching a program which runs over the top of.
Mm. Like, so you'd be running a minimum. I think you'd probably be running a minimum of 6 to 8 gig.
Well, look, think about it, though, because, I mean, it's in the 27s, right? And the new range 27s.
Start at 4.
Start at 4.
So then what you've got is you've got 4 for that, but then you're going to want 2 to 4 for the alternate operating system.
Dude, if this is going to be pushed out, it'll be pushed out high-end.
And here's a question for you. Do you actually suspend the operating system, or do you do something like a quad-core system, use 2 cores for one operating system and 2 cores for the other?
You stole that from me.
Oh!
No. Look, the quad-core system is exactly what they'd have to do with this. If they're going to run any sort of program...
2 quads.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, baby.
Now you're getting sci-fi on me, dude. I'm not so, it is definitely possible. I'm just saying that I'm not sure whether
or not. Think about this, though. If you were actually if you were to sell the screens, not iMacs, but sell them as the screens that could do this, you could then put it onto a Mac Pro. Mac Pros do carry 2 quad cores already.
Mm.
There's no reason why you couldn't adjust that for a Mac Pro. Mm. Mm. And let's face it, if it's things like video editing and DJing, so I got Mac Pro is going to be the system they want anyway.
Mm. Well, look, I mean, I have to say that I'm actually believing that this won't. Maybe the patent itself might be just a patent, but I see a computer like this happening in very little time, dude. Everybody knows that that's where we're pushing towards. We have 2 systems currently that we are trying to push towards. The system of running a computer camera-wise and running a system touch-wise, right? Both will be in place within 5 years, in my opinion.
It's just
we are trying to push out of where we are with computers, and we have hit a point where we have to change everything.
Yeah.
We can't just keep upgrading our systems. We have to change the way we
Well, yeah, because we've been using fundamentally the same... We've been fundamentally using the same input system on computers for the last, 15, almost 20 years now, right? Yeah. So it's time to move into some new arena. We've actually had some comments going on in the chat room about Touch and saying how Microsoft is also about to launch Touch products. But, you know, and they're going to be faster and they're going to be better at it and so forth. And you know what? The problem is that there was actually a very interesting discussion going on Mac Break Weekly. I think it was about 2 weeks ago, where they actually said the issue here is that Apple can't get a foothold. If you allow Apple to get a foothold, you'll never catch up. Okay? The other companies dropped the ball. Right, yeah. There were supposed to be 30-odd tablets out this year from CES at the beginning of the year. When the iPad got announced, everybody said, fuck it. And they just dropped all of their projects, and they moved away. And the Apple iPad managed to get a foothold in, has sold millions of units now, and now everybody is scrambling to play catch-up. Microsoft can release whatever they want, but unless they fundamentally change their operating system, they're never going to get a tablet on the market that is as successful as the iPad. Now, where they might succeed is if they release tablets that are using the new Windows Mobile 7 operating system, because that is touch-enabled.
Yeah.
But Microsoft isn't doing that. They are really trying to push Windows 7 Touch. Now, Windows 7 Touch sucks, quite frankly. These operating systems, the Windows operating system, does not lend itself to touch very well.
No.
And unless they fundamentally change their thinking and go, we have a great mobile solution, let's use that mobile solution as a tablet, then they might have something. But at the moment, every tablet that I've seen coming out of Windows, the ones that they're talking about, have all been Windows 7 tablets. And that's not gonna cut it. It's the same thing with Google. Google is screwed at the moment in their thinking. They're trying to come up with the Google operating system, Chromium, right? They're trying to come up with this Google operating system. And you sit there and go, why? You already have a great mobile operating system. Android rocks, right?
Yeah.
You put Android onto tablets and you're going to have tablets that will kick the iPad's ass in numbers, if not in quality, right?
I think what's going to happen here is, in my opinion, we're going to have a very interesting time ahead of us, because what I see happening is that I think we're going to see one company rise from nothing, which will be some backwater Asian computer company that will just, you know, sort of build Android onto one of these systems without telling anyone, like without legally doing it, install it onto it. This thing will have a USB port, a decent touch screen. It may not be the best system, but everyone will start buying it, and then everyone will panic and start changing the way that they do things.
Except Apple.
Well, at this stage, dude, Apple will be what they will be, but I actually see a flip again, probably in like 2 to 3 years. And I just see it happening from the point of view where people will realize what Apple does and will want this tablet.
What we see here at the moment is we actually see, and I've heard this commented on a few times on various shows, but what we are seeing here is a return to the Windows versus Macintosh fight. That the age-old fight is to one was better, but the other one had a bigger market. But that has shifted now. It's no longer Microsoft and Apple having this fight. It is now Google and Apple having this fight. Android versus iOS 4. And what we're seeing is because at the moment in America, more Android phones are sold than iPhones. But there is this huge cross-section of Android phones. There's like, you know, dozens of models and different types and different distributions and so forth. So it's much more like Windows, whereas Windows was being put out on every different PC under the sun. And then there's the iPhone, which is selling iOS 4. And so what you've got is you've got the niche market. And it's selling its smaller number of units, but a higher quality product. And then you've got Android just populating the world. Windows has been left in the dust. And even though the Windows Phone 7, I got that right. Windows Phone 7 is supposed to be awesome. I haven't seen one personally myself, but I've seen all the stats on it. It looks fantastic. It's supposed to be absolutely awesome. It will never get a foothold. It's too late. It's too late. We've already seen the market explode.
Dude, this is what I'm saying though. I disagree because, I mean, there's always a place for these sort of things if they get marketed right. All you have to do with this Windows Mobile 7, right, for me, for it to really start selling is to launch it on a pad-style situation and just give it the sit down in a room with your tech guys and go, these are all the things Apple's can't do. Put it in there. Give it a USB port. Give it a card reader. Give it the ability to interface with hard drives. You do that, man, you will destroy the Apple iPad.
And for the American market, which is one of the big selling points, is you make it Tether. And not only Tether, but the new Android phones actually have Wi-Fi capability, have MiFi capability, so your phone itself becomes a mobile hotspot. Apple can't do this. Well, I'm sure they could. But they choose not to, you know? Now, what we got here, I love there's one comment. It's already gone off the screen, but it was one comment basically saying that Microsoft has to be careful because you put Windows on anything and there's a bad connotation on it. And they're right. They need to come up with a new brand. And what did they do? They had a new brand, and instead they went with Windows Phone 7. So they've added Windows to their phone. So it's killed that brand because people are going to go, Windows on a phone? Really? Do I want it?
Now, Phone 7 is the coolest name you could
have
used.
Phone 7 would have been great. Absolutely.
Phone 7.
Callison says, different phones will appeal to different people, but Apple will never make anything different, but Android will be on a phone with features you need and want. Absolutely. And
that's the same thing. But this has always been the thing. And this is the PC market right now. And this is that little stupid video that we had a couple of weeks ago. It's that whole concept. Exactly. It's that whole concept of you can tell these people anything that you want, right? But like Windows has lost the line that it used to have, right? Because for me, as a PC user, the line I could always use, right, is, yeah, but I can do what I want with my PC.
And this is where you get down to different kinds of users. So let's get down to a fundamental thing. I'm an iPhone user, okay?
So am I.
I love my iPhone. I am aware that it has limitations. I am aware that I am stuck in the walled garden of Apple, right? I am aware that it doesn't do a few of the bells and whistles that an Android phone can do. I am aware that it doesn't have a USB port that I can, or expandable storage. I'm aware of these
things. It's a phone.
But the one thing that I am aware of is that I also use Macintosh computers. Now, for me personally, it's a personal thing. The integration of that phone with my computers is so tight that I love that ecosystem. I love the fact that I have everything synchronized to one central server. I love the fact that when I synchronize my phone, I know I'm getting I can control it with my computer. It's this beautiful ecosystem that works.
It's actually quite
interesting. And that's why I'm happy with it.
It's actually quite interesting because I was actually thinking about this a couple of days ago. You know what it feels like? As someone that uses the Windows system and so on and so forth and has the iPhone, everyone that has been a long-term user will know I have an iPhone that isn't used as a phone. I'm about to get it as a phone, so therefore I am now trying to push myself into the world of connecting that computer to phone integration, right?
And on the PC it sucks.
And yeah, okay. So apart from on the PC it sucks, the other thing is getting past that line. It's almost like a poor person going into a rich house, right? No, I shit you not. It really is. Because your reaction to things is just so, like, unable to understand why things happen. Because it's like, when you plug it in, it's like butlers running up to you and going, I'll just take that from you and put that over here.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting there going, wait, no, I don't want you to... Oh, well, that's actually
And that's actually one of the
easy.
Hardest things that a PC user has to deal with when moving to Apple. Because I had to do the same thing. I only went to Apple in 2007. I was a dedicated PC user before that. And the first thing that PC users have to come to grips with is letting go.
Mm.
And that is so hard to do when you are so used to being able to, like, your PC is your old pickup truck that you can lift the lid on and, you know, rework the engine if you want to. And you get a shiny new Mac and you sit there and go, but how do I, and something simple like, how do I uninstall a program? They say, oh, no, you just drag that into the bin. It's gone. It's like, no, it can't be. It's too simple.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like you sit there and go, and it's releasing that control and allowing yourself to just... have a computer that
basically
works.
Look, I mean, I know when I get this set up, and let me reiterate what you said before, it has been a bitch of a situation just to get everything context-wise into one place on a PC. It is a nightmare. It is a fucking nightmare.
Yes.
But once I start getting it into that situation, I've had to spend a couple of hours so far just renaming everybody on my list, deleting old contacts, putting the email context and the phone context together in one contact thing. It's taking me hours. But once it's there and I can find any fucking program that will actually work as a calendar program, once I have those in place, it will become a simple process to transfer that across. And I'm happy about that. But I now understand those lines, and I will still always be a PC user. This will be the only integration I will be doing. Everything else, I don't even let my phone sync, because syncing is fucking stupid.
I sync my phone. I love syncing. I set up my playlists. I can add or modify those playlists. As soon as I plug my phone, I don't think about it. It just takes those playlists.
But again, like, I mean, I'm one of those people that is... it's all about spontaneity. I don't want a computer controlling what I do, because when I wake up in the morning, I want to listen to one album. When I get home at the end of the day, I want to listen to a different one, and I want to throw those. Just bam, bam, bam,
different
chuck on, chuck off.
Folks.
Exactly. But this is the thing. Apple doesn't let you have those strokes.
Now,
this is the difference.
We've actually had one saying... I think numero zero, once again, for some reason my chat room has gone rinky-dink in size, so I lose you very quickly. Where is it? There's something here that says that the one thing they hate about iTunes is that you're not allowed to re-download stuff that you've bought. And we will say that, yeah, but somebody, numero zero, said, although you can re-download apps. So the fact that you can re-download apps makes me wonder, and you can re-download the books. I know with the new bookstore you can actually pull down the books. I'm wondering if the re-downloading of music is coming, because they've now got that in position for things like apps and books. But my other argument to that is, once you've downloaded it, it's now your responsibility. Back up.
Well, and as a sort of counterpoint, even though I am one of these people that doesn't like the fact that Apple does that, another thing is, if you bought a CD and lost it, you lost the CD.
You lost the CD,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, but the concept
There is a time when you have to take responsibility for your own stuff. And, like, I can tell you now that when Grace crashed, we actually lost a couple of tracks off of iTunes. We lost a couple of photos out of iPhoto.
And
it wasn't all the boards. But it wasn't a major loss, because we had most everything backed up. It's just the backup was a little bit old, so we just lost the last week's worth of stuff. And I accept that. I accept the fact that I didn't back up. I accept that it was my mistake. And let me tell you, this is a great argument for backing up, making sure everything is backed up. How do you lose a hard drive?
Yeah, Delta Knight is saying he lost his hard drive. Yes, like Numera, I'm assuming he means electronically, but...
But if not, yeah, it could have dropped out of your bag. It could have fallen
out the back of the computer. It could have crawled away.
Is he talking about an external or an internal?
We don't know that.
Yeah.
We're waiting.
Brand new, 3-day-old Western Digital hard drive with SATA 3 died in the ass. There you go.
Bastard.
Bastard. I hope you had the receipt and take it back and shove it up the salesperson's ass. But anyway. All right, let's...
Hey, I might be that person, so shut the fuck up. We didn't build your hard drive.
Man, we went on for that a long time. We don't have time for anything else. Sorry. But we look, I'm just going to cherry pick a couple of the stories. We had more stories than this, but look, we had so much fun with that that we didn't actually manage to come back. If that patent comes through and that iPad, if that iMac comes on sale, I want to play with it. All right? Yep. Simple as that.
I will call you day one we get it in the store.
We're just going to run through a couple of these just because I've got graphics for them and we should talk about it. Is this the new netbook killer? This is what we have to ask. This is a new case that has just come out for iPad. I look at it and go, really? It kind of defeats the purpose of having an iPad. But anyway, for some people, this will appeal. This is the new case that has integrated keyboard in the lid so that when you actually open it up, fold it down, you have a keyboard right there and it's ready to go. So
if you used it a lot for typing, maybe.
Absolutely.
But and I would love to see how heavy it is.
Well, that's my question, is how heavy is it? And this looks like a pretty substantial keyboard. It's not like it's some little one of those gel rollout ones or something like that. It's a pretty substantial keyboard. But the question is, the article was posing that I got this from was, is this an iPad killer? Sorry, a netbook killer. Those who people who would want a full keyboard and netbook.
The answer to that, Dave, completely in one thing. Yeah, exactly what Shane said. No, there is no way this is an iPad. Because, dude, fundamentally, you're still missing. They're still missing the point of the netbook, which is that it can do everything an Apple can't. Okay.
All right. Now, wait. Let's say, with the exception, let's take Flash out of the equation.
Okay.
What else can a netbook do that the iPad can't?
Play video, connect to a TV, play video without a cable. Without a cable.
No, your netbook still needs a cable to play the TV.
Dude, I've got thousands of those cables sitting around.
You still need a cable to do it, though. Forget the without a cable business. You still need a cable. And not everybody has 1,000 of those cables around.
Connect to a network via a Ethernet port. I can.
But why would you want
I
to?
I can watch any movie I want to. I can install any program I want to.
Questions. Throw it in the chat room. How many people actually connect their netbook to a network with an Ethernet cable? That's one. Okay, you don't count though because you're this weird tech guy. I'm talking about the average person who's buying a netbook.
And also, Dave, the average person that's buying a netbook is about 60.
Well, have you looked at the age bracket for the iPads? Lots of people buying their mom's iPads. So.
Yeah.
I think that the netbook is overrated, quite frankly. The netbook is not a good computer for doing anything, really.
I disagree.
It's a little rinky-dink toy that can be used for doing stuff on the move while you're out and about. So is the iPad. So, you know, you sit there and look at it.
I can't.
And when you say you can watch video, you can't watch video on the iPad?
Well, no, because I can't watch anything. I can only watch ones that I've either downloaded for iTunes or reformatted into that format.
No, actually, that's not true. There's now a free app that allows you to play all Xvids and DIVX videos on your iPad.
For how long?
It's out. It's free. I've got it on my iPad. It plays beautifully, too.
Oh, well, there you go.
So that argument's gone.
Look, I'm just saying, man, for things like storage, as an example, like to actually be able to have...
Yeah, and how much storage does yours have?
This thing's ancient.
All right, but how much storage does yours have?
My one has about 30 gigs.
Okay, so the storage equation is
250 is the average for what
mine's
you
would got 160. Yeah. But, you know, and I have a netbook. I'm just saying what I use my netbook for, I now use my iPad for.
Yeah.
There is nothing that I do on my netbook that I couldn't do on my iPad. If I want to do real computing, I use a bigger computer. I don't use
As
a netbook.
Question, dude, and this is something to ask. If I sent you an email with a document attachment in it.
I can open that in iPad.
But can you save it then?
Yes.
To the device?
And then I can open it in Pages on the iPad.
Okay.
And I can even modify it.
No, that's cool. That was more of a question than anything.
Send me a PDF. I can use a PDF. I've also got a PDF app, which I can then do more advanced stuff with PDF if I want to do stuff with PDF.
You have to pay for all these, though, right?
The PDF app is, but there are lots of free PDF apps as well. I've got to pay for one, but you can get lots of free PDF apps. I mean, that's the thing. If you hunt around and dig around, the iPad is capable of doing all of those general tasks that you
How
want to do.
How much setup would it take? Because this is what it, like, dude, again, this is from a salesman's point of view. I'm like going... When I sell somebody an iPad that knows nothing about computers.
I'll give you an idea. Here's a really good idea for you. My lovely wife, Katie, downstairs, has a laptop.
Yeah.
And since she's had her iPad, I have not seen her open her laptop once.
Mm.
So her laptop is now just collecting dust. Mm. When she does real work, like having to write proposals, she'll do that at work. She doesn't do it here anyway. So all of her email, web surfing, checking out YouTube videos or anything like that, or if she wants to, you know, play around with stuff, that's her all her iPad now. She barely even uses her laptop for anything. And that would have been a netbook's job initially. So I just don't go, I don't think the iPad is perfect. Don't get me wrong. But I think as far as where, what niche it's filling, I think that its niche is the netbook arena. And the netbook at the moment really is rinky-dink. I mean, the netbook is a cheap-ass little laptop is what it is, you know?
And, like, that picture that you just saw there that was on screen, that picture alone, you can't say that it's a netbook killer. It's just an iPad with a case with a bigger keyboard.
Yeah. I like it. So Callison says, I can plug a USB DVD ROM drive into my netbook. Touché. Okay. But when was the last time I plugged in my DVD-ROM into my... Because I have a portable DVD-ROM. When was the last time I plugged that?
It's odd, and again, it's probably a tech thing, but I actually use it a lot when I'm doing stuff on my computer, like audio thinking. I'll actually have that with the DVD player to watch movies while I'm doing it. Odd, but yeah.
No, see, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's... But once again, it's all personal. Boy, God, conversations. We're scared. We have to do this. Before we run out of time, we have to talk about this, because this is going to kill. This is going to blow your mind. Now, if you were going to set up a company, guys, would you set up a company that uses somebody else's trademark and then be surprised when they came to sue you? All right. This company has come up with this device. Are you ready? Josh, you'll appreciate this. This device. Okay. This is from this is from the company Jedi Mind. And this is a brain interface for your computer. It actually allows you to do simple commands with your mind on your computer.
Right.
Lucasfilm has turned around and said, that is not the name you're looking for. And has taken them to court saying, you can't use Jedi. I'm sorry. You cannot use Jedi for your product. We own it. So Jedi Mind may die before it gets a chance to do anything. What can Jedi Mind do? I have no idea. I think it's a gimmick, quite frankly. I think it's. I think this. These people are seen brainstorm one too often. But however, according to this, it says fresh off its legal lightsaber battle. I don't know if you guys caught up with that one.
No.
That was where some people came up with some green laser pointers.
Yeah.
You know, very high powered laser pointers, and Lucasfilm took them to court because the handle of it looked a lot like a lightsaber. Oh. they managed to get away from that one, but. Lucasfilm has now filed a lawsuit against Nevada company called Jedi Mind. Not surprisingly, they're not particularly happy with the name and are charging the company with trademark infringements. Now, we're going to put a link in the show notes that takes you to this article, which then if you click through, will take you through to the company, and you can see what this does. Basically, the product allows you to do very simple commands like move forward, move back, stuff like that. So it's good for gaming, is their concept, is that they're looking for like a gaming interface where you can do stuff with your mind. All you have to do is think it, and you'll move forward. I don't believe them, and I want to see it in practice. Because if they actually had managed to harness this kind of power, this would be all over everywhere. Okay. But I love the headset. If you've ever seen the film Brainstorm with Christopher Walken, it looks just like that.
I would like to point out that we have a winning argument for your netbook,
okay,
netbook versus Apple
slam
thing.
Me down.
Delta Knight says you cannot play StarCraft on an iPad.
I couldn't play StarCraft on my netbook.
Oh, dude, I can.
No, on mine, I couldn't.
3/4 of the way through the game again.
And
on
also,
my netbook.
Quite frankly, wouldn't want to play StarCraft on my netbook.
Dude, it looks awesome on the 10-inch screen.
I want that 27-inch screen
over
there.
I'm talking StarCraft 1.
All right, I want the 24-inch screen.
You're just trying to defend it now, Dave.
I am.
You're just trying to defend it.
Of course
it.
I am. No, you're absolutely right. You can't play StarCraft.
No, and that for that we win.
You can't play StarCraft, but then again, I don't actually own a copy of StarCraft right now because Josh never gave me the disc he was going to give me.
Aww.
So. I actually went in to buy a copy of StarCraft a long time ago, and Josh said, I have a spare one. I'll give you one.
I love that this is the first time we've talked about it since that day.
Yeah, well, you know, you should remember these things.
Oh, okay. See, this is what happens when Apple people get defensive. They start flicking onto every other person.
Now, I'd like to point out that I am a PC and Apple person. I have
moving right along.
PC here, Apple here.
Doesn't make you any less of an Apple fanboy. I'm sorry.
All right, the other thing we had to talk about before we run out of time, it is so important that we talk about this, but everybody who has gone out there and spent lots of money on a 3D TV set, you have wasted your money because it is already superseded. They have already managed to make a better TV set, guys. Japanese National Institute of Advanced Industrial Science and Technology has come up with a way to interact with your 3D TV. They have now allowed users to touch, pinch, and poke the images that are coming out at you.
Pinch, you say?
Josh, what possible use could they have for this?
The one that immediately comes to mind. Born for the win!
Oh, good lord.
Dude, the porn industry will be going straight past HD now and going, we are on that boat.
We want that one.
There's a dude standing at the door of this guy's house right now going, I've got bags of money. Make it happen.
It says here that it says you can have the sense of touch like poking a rubber ball or or stretching a sticky rice cake. The technology, I'm sorry, this is from news.com.au. The technology changes the shape of three-dimensional images in response to touches. It says, it's not known when the technology will be put to practical use.
I don't think it'll ever be put to practical use.
I want one of these TVs now. Give it to me. It says this thing. I love how innocent. And I add in the Jedi mind thing and I'm sold, says Galazin. Oh, we've lost it. Oh, I love the fact that they're so innocent. They say, this technology could create a virtual museum where visitors, including non-impaired people, can put their hands on valuable sculptures that are usually untouchable. Or we can give it to Jenna Jameson Productions and we can touch other things that are usually untouchable. I love the fact that they put it in quotes. They say, technology allows you to feel images. Oh, dear. Yeah, okay, so if you bought a 3D TV, bad luck.
You enjoy that 3D TV while I play with things on my screen.
I am so looking forward to that. Can I tell you, as soon as you guys get a demo unit in JB, let me know. I'm coming. Oh, I shouldn't have used that term.
Yeah, that's not good.
Bad choice of words. All right. Okay, let's finish.
My eyes hurt.
Let's finish this off. We've actually got a couple of other stories we can just throw in here just to try and bring this back into some sort of sense. Oh, I love that story, though. All right, first of all, do we remember this gentleman? This is, where is he? This is Paul Shin Devine. Oh, man, I've got tears coming down my eyes.
I know, right? I just
Paul Shin Devine, who basically was accused of stealing or selling Apple secrets to the Middle East.
Well, I remember.
I've lost my articles now. Here it is. It says that Paul Devine, this is from sydneymorningherald.com.au from the August 25th, says the Apple manager accused of taking kickbacks in exchange for company secrets must give the government access to two safe deposit boxes that a prosecutor said may contain proceeds of the fraud. He has pleaded not guilty. However, apparently they've been finding like shoeboxes full of money in his house and all sorts of stuff. It says that we know about some accounts and some statements, but not statements for all the accounts we believe are out there. Apparently this guy's got accounts everywhere. Now, they're worried that he's a flight risk.
Really?
So they are going to give him a $600,000 bond for bail, but first he has to sign over funds from all the foreign accounts. So he has to sign over all the foreign accounts, and then they'll give him allow him to get bail. I think this guy is screwed, quite frankly. It says that Devine gave the suppliers of iPhone and iPod accessories confidential data that helped them win better contracts from Cupertino. It says each count of wire fraud, conspiracy and money laundering may bring a 20-year prison sentence. Each count. Now, last I heard, wasn't it like 20 counts? This guy's going to jail forever. 23 counts. 23 counts at 20 years per count. Wow.
Wow.
One could only hope that he gets to serve them concurrently, because otherwise I don't think he's ever coming out of prison again. So that's that. Now, I'd also like to point out, now this is the other thing. Just in defense. Delta Knight says, "Do I miss the big joke there? My sister called me." I'm sorry, Delta Knight. Go back and listen to the audio podcast later. You'll hear it. I don't think we can do it again. We might die.
No, yeah, no.
Now, I'd just like to, this is kind of two very quick things. First thing is this one. We all talk about the fact that the iPad is limited. This is the new Kindle 3. It's about to be released. And I'd like to point out, the reason why I bring this up was it's such a beat up, because this is the headline. I'm holding it up to the camera. You can't read it very well. It says, that, so this is the article from The City, and the headline is, "New Kindle 3, in quotes, everything the iPad isn't."
So,
and then computer? I went through, well, yeah, computer. And so, then I started to go through the article going, really? What can it do? Ooh, I'm fascinated. It's a book reader. I'm sorry, it doesn't do anything different than the original Kindle. It just looks nicer. It's prettier, you know? It's thinner. It's more slimline. Yes, it's got Wi-Fi and 3G. I think the iPad actually can have that option.
Is it still black and white? Or is
it's still e-ink. It's still black and white. It's like, you sit there and go, really? Guys, it's a book reader. You know, it's not a home computer. I don't get it. Now, just to finish this off, because this is going to be the day for boobies, by the way. I just wanted to let you all know that. Film actually has got more stories on boobies coming up. But these are the meter maids. Do you remember these lasses, these buxom lasses?
No.
All right. The meter maids are famous in Queensland, and they are basically a charity organization, and they go around in their gold bikinis, and they put money into car meters, and they help people out by refeeding people's meters, just for the sake of it. And then people give them tips and want to have their photos taken with, because they're all gorgeous girls.
Yeah.
Well, Microsoft hired the meter maids for an event. Now, because of all that laughter before, all of my notes are completely mixed up. So just give me 1 second while I find this note. But basically, they had a conference up in Queensland, and they hired the meter maids to come to the conference, you know, because that's, you know, you want buxom, gorgeous women. Here it is, meter maid stunts. Excuse me. They hired them to come to their tech ed conference on the Gold Coast, and when they arrived in their little skimpy outfits, everybody freaked out. They basically accused Microsoft of being sexist, and basically the entire thing backfired. And everybody's saying, how could Microsoft do this? This is terrible. And Microsoft turned around saying, we didn't know how they'd be dressed, and it was just inappropriate, and blah, blah, blah. And isn't this terrible? Well, the reason why this came, because that wouldn't be a story in my mind. I would just sit there and go, who cares? We live in this weird world. But Chief Meter Maid, Roberta Atchison, has fired back. And this is where it gets interesting, because she says that Microsoft is telling fibs. She says that the garments were chosen specifically by them over a period of 2 to 3 weeks of them looking at photographs of the girls. They came back to me by email stating which garments they would like the girls to be wearing. So Microsoft, don't go throwing stones.
They've got to understand, like, I think Microsoft just doesn't know where, or just needs a completely new advertising team. Like, I mean, everyone. Just
well, we
flush
know,
the whole
yeah,
lot
well,
of
we
them
Well, we know
out.
That Microsoft's advertising has been useless
tell us
for a
Sid,
long
Microsoft
time.
Microsoft lying? Say it isn't so.
and this is how many men were at that conference.
Like, yeah, apparently not enough.
Let's just do that one more time.
Look, dude. Those that sort of thing is what my industry is well known for, gaming. Like, you know, that's the kind of thing you would expect to see there. No one thinks twice about it. Don't bring them to a normal people event. They just will freak out.
I'm wondering who. I mean, if it's a technology event, you can imagine it's probably very male-centric. You can probably imagine there's a lot of Poindexters and
it's probably and about
there, and they're probably sitting there going, oh, man.
You know? There's probably 5 to 6 people that are anti it, and the others are just too afraid to say anything. So, no.
The vocal minority.
Horrible.
Exactly. Delta Knight. No, not Delta Knight. Northy. No. Take it back. Where is that? What? Oh, here it is. Delta Knight says, oh, my God, if they have those emails, then Microsoft are screwed. And Absolutely. If those emails are there,
especially
I say...
Especially for the way that they treated them. Like, yeah. I mean, to throw them to the wind like that, that's fucked up.
I'm sorry. I mean, that's just not on.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you guys got anything to add? Because if not, we're going to have to start moving out of here because we've got Callum coming. And for those who want to stick around for our film show, we're doing Piranha 3D. It's going to be a lot of fun. Shane... How can people find out more about you?
Basically, all you have to do is you can go onto Facebook. You can type my full name, Shane Robert Gregory, or you can type in my Xbox Live ID that finds me a bit faster, Nexus 81. Or you can also find me on Raw DLC as the tech guy.
Wow, last time we asked that question, you had one thing. Now suddenly he's got this expansive...
Well, now he knows, you know, how to expand it out.
Josh!
Yes?
How can we find out more about you? As if I didn't know.
Google me, obviously. No. You can go to the website, which is, of course, RealDLC.com. We do games, news, and stuff. So feel free to jump on and check that out. We have an interview popping up on Monday, which I think everyone should check out because the most underrated game of the year is coming. And we have an interview with a developer, and she is an amazing girl. And I really advise you guys to check it out. Plus, there's an interesting few points she ranges on Andy Serkis, who it's an interesting part of the interview there.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, please check out that on the website, which is rawdlc.com. And also don't forget to jump on iTunes for both me and Dave and do Film, Tech, and Geek Actually plus Raw DLC. And if you guys can just at least give us a star rating or write a review if you can, it helps us get onto those front pages, which means more people, which means bigger chat room, which is just awesome.
Fantastic.
And because Dave accused me of panhandling, I'm going to do it for one more week, which is if anybody has a few spare dollars, that's all I'm asking on the front website. We are making a drive to which I am having to save up my own personal money to get a computer change in our house to do the recording of the show. If anybody's got a few dollars you can throw towards to help me buy that computer, it really helps any dollars that I can manage to scrounge up over that. So please, anyone, this is the last week I'm pimping it. So
got any change, man?
That's exactly what I'm doing.
All right, let's do a little bit of pimping for this show.
Already done that, Brad. It doesn't work very well for very long.
Well, see, also, Brad, we don't actually have a lot of places where you can do that sell your body for scientific experiments things in Australia.
Oh, no, I think you meant sell it.
We could do that, too. Yeah. But, I mean, like, let's face it, Robert Rodriguez funded an entire film by selling himself to scientific experiments. So if you could do that, I'm sure you'd be in there in a flash.
Damn right.
Damn straight. All right. Now, if you like or don't like anything that we have talked about, agree or disagree, or have some ideas from stories like Geek Betty did this morning, send your feedback to geektech@geekactually.com. That is our email address. Or you can leave us a voicemail at Sydney number 02-8011-3167. And I actually even called that voicemail line this week to make sure it was working because it's been very quiet. It's like crickets out there. So if you send us a voicemail, we'll play you on the show. Get your voice heard. Now, remember, we've got some Geek Actually swag. That is like, you know, hats and T-shirts and mugs and all sorts of stuff like that, which helps support this show. You can go to cafepress.com.au/geekactually. And in the next couple of weeks, we should have a whole bunch of new stuff because we've got our cartoons are almost here. I got some new samples I got to show you, Josh.
Oh, really?
So, so I'll show you those. And we also have a Facebook fan page. So if you are one of those people who lives in Facebook but still wants to be able to follow what's going on, you can go to facebook.com/geekactually. And we post up a lot of the articles we post up on the site. We feed to there. So that way you can keep up. So you can come and join that fan page. Now, make sure you do check out our other shows. We have Film Actually, which is our dedicated film show. And we have the Geek Actually After Show, which is basically a mess. And and you come along to that one. I love the Geek Actually After Show. And you can search for any of our shows, including this one, Tech Actually, on iTunes. Just search for the name and you'll find it. And you can also find all the back episodes at geekactually.com. All right. One last shout out, and I know this the housekeeping section is going to get longer and longer and longer, but we have one more shout out that we have to say mentioning those cartoons is, of course, our very good friend Josh Spencer, who is doing our new cartoon artwork, and it is awesome. And you can see all of his other art and his cartoon work and so forth over at attackninja.blogspot.com. That is Josh Spencer's home on the web, and his work is really good. So go and have a look at it. I do recommend that. And one last thing, do remember that you can watch this show live. We start recording our podcasts, all three shows, on the same day. We start recording at 12, and about every hour we change show. So it's to come at 12 Australian Eastern Standard Time, UTC plus 10. Now I'm going to look at my world clocks up here, and we have an American in the audience, Brad, how are you? So he can correct us if we're wrong, but I'm going to say that that would probably be about 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, or 10 p.m. Eastern for the American listeners on Friday. Am I right? So let him get back to me. There's a bit of a delay to the chat room. So if you are an American listener, those are the times that you can log in. If that is it, that is all I have to plug. I don't think I have anything else. Do you guys have anything else you want to add to this mess here?
No, I'm good. No.
Okay, and Brad says that sounds about right. And of course, one last thing, if you want to follow me personally, you can follow me on Twitter. That's David McVeigh. So that's at David McVeigh on Twitter. And if all is said and done, we're going to get ourselves out of here. I want to thank our chat room for joining us. They are always good value to have. Brad says at least the 10 Eastern he knows is right because that's where he is. way to be local. All right. And if not, we're going to get out of here. Thank you very much. We will talk to you all again next week. Bye now.